Sometimes stepping into a new season can be filled with grief and fear, or we can reframe our thoughts in positive ways. Let's talk about it today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts, it's Dawn Damon, Braveheart Mentor and Vision Architect, and this is the Bravehearted Woman Podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Well, welcome everybody. My guest today is described as a drama queen, wait for it, for Jesus. She's a dramatist, a speaker, author with a master's degree in counseling, and has published countless devotions on numerous platforms, including YouVersion, The Upper Room, and she's a contributor for two of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And she's written so many articles and blogs, all designed to impact and inspire her readers. She's amazing. She's memorable. She's impactful. Please welcome today my guest, Peg Arnold. Hi, Peg.
Hey, Dawn. It is so great to be here with you today.
Thank you so much. Your smile is so infectious and your energy, and not just on screen. I've met you many times. We've had the joy of really connecting and having some great conversations.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. And I always feel inspired when I walk away like, whoo, you know, sometimes we talk to people and we feel like, oh, but when I walk away from you, I do feel inspired. And I do feel, you know, you just carry that. So well done, sister.
Well, I think it's mutual admiration, Dawn. I feel the same way after I'm with you.
Thank you. So I love for us to get into this. And maybe there is someone listening today who hasn't had the opportunity to meet you yet. Tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, Reader's Digest condensed version.
Sure.
I grew up in a family of five. I was a PK. I went into teaching right after I was married and after college, raised a family of two kids, went back for my master's after I had taught for a while and been at home with the kids for a while, because I knew that was another repurposing season. What was I going to do now that the kids were in school? And you know, along the way, we had our bumps. We had infertility. I dealt with an eating disorder. There's all kinds of bumps that we deal with, sudden losses of parents and those types of things. I grew up in Michigan. We raised our kids in Maryland, and now we live in Colorado. And that's part of my story that I'm going to be sharing. But God has been with me. I've been in a speaking ministry. In the 90s, God kind of opened the door. It wasn't something I was looking for because I was full-time with education as a counselor in middle schools. Opened the door for me to step into ministry and a drama queen for Jesus. What I do is I springboard my messages with drama, mm-hmm. whether it's a biblical woman, whether it's a contemporary woman. And then it goes into the message from there. But God has opened that door. And I never would have told you 30 years ago that this is where I would be then writing, if when he opened the door for writing. But, you know, God has a plan. We don't know the plan. And we are looking, I always liken it, I'm a very visual person, but I always liken it to a tapestry, where we tend to see the bottom of the tapestry with all the knots and the broken pieces and the you know, all the messes. But on the other side, God is weaving a beautiful picture, and he knows that. And so it's learning to trust him when we can't see it.
Yes, that's so powerful, because you're exactly right. God sees the big picture, and sometimes we just focus on the knot, or we focus on, you know, I don't like the way this is looking underneath here. But having to stand in that faith and believing and having a vision for a preferred future, knowing that, the Bible says God does all things well. And if it's not well, it's not finished. It's not over. You're in the
Right.
midst, right?
Right. And when we're in the midst, it's so hard because when we're in the wait, you use a stop sign. Sometimes God says, no, that's stop. Sometimes he says, go. That's a great green light sometimes. And sometimes God says, wait. And waiting can be a valley, it can be a storm. It's like an hourglass because an hourglass, if you watch an hourglass, if you sit there and watch the grains of sand, you really don't see much progress. But if you leave it for a while and go back after a while, you will see progress made. And that's what God is doing in the wait. He's going step by step. And we feel like we're falling. We feel we can be in a storm and be fearful. We can be in grief. We can be weak or in a fog of indecision, or even surrounded by the negativity and that message of, oh, I'm not meant for this, and that can destroy us and that can paralyze us.
Definitely derail us, paralyze, keep us stuck. And
Absolutely.
I like your traffic analogy. Sometimes it's stop, sometimes it's yield, sometimes it's wait. Sometimes I get caught in those roundabouts, those circles, and I go around and around and around. I'm like, how do I get off this thing?
That's right.
Or
That's
sometimes I
right.
feel like, okay, God, am I going around this mountain again? But you said a moment ago that part of your story is you're in Colorado. So that sounds like a significant transition. How did you
It
get from all of those places? Is there more to your story here?
Oh, absolutely. As I said, we raised our kids in Maryland. We were in a house that we had been for 32 years. Like, my kids didn't know any other house.
Yeah.
And I thought our roots were deep. When you're in a place like that, your roots go deep. And I liken it to oak trees. Oak trees have these deep roots that go deep before they even sprout up. And that's how we were planted in Maryland. Our kids got married, and one lived in Pennsylvania and one lived in Virginia. And I felt that was a win as a mom to be able to have one family in Pennsylvania only a couple hours away and Virginia an hour away. I felt, okay, this is the way it
Sweet.
is. Thank you, Jesus. I've got my adult children close to me. And within 2 years, it changed. I was working full time. I was doing ministry at the same time. I was writing my devotions and blogs at the same time. And then grandchildren started coming into the picture. And my daughter and her husband told us they were going to be moving to Colorado. Colorado. I mean, I had been to Colorado once in
One.
my life.
Clear on the other side of the world.
Right. That's on the other side of the Mississippi. I know the East Coast well. I can do Midwest, East Coast, but the West, I'm not so familiar with. And so within that year, they moved to Colorado and we started visiting them, of course, and they had twins at the time. So, we wanted to be able to spend time with them.
Sure.
And within 2 years, my son and his wife felt the calling of the Lord, and they have a whole story of the Lord calling them, and they moved to Colorado within 15 minutes of my kids. So now we're in Maryland and they're in Colorado, both of my kids. And it was like, this does not compute. This is not what I thought my life was going to look like as a nana, and a parent of adult children.
Sure.
They were going to be close in proximity. And my husband said, well, let's move. I was working full time. I had a ministry that had roots up and down the East Coast. And I couldn't even fathom it. I said, well, maybe we can just visit and, go six times a year or get a condo there and keep our house in Maryland. I was coming up with all these ideas. And I was on a walk. And I literally, when God has you in a transitional season where he's going to make a big move, for me, it felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff and he was saying, do you trust me?
Yes.
Jump, jump. And
Wow.
I can't see the bottom. And I was on this walk and I said, Lord, You said when I stopped working full time with education, I would be in full time ministry. My ministry is on the East Coast. Why in the world would you call us to Colorado? Why is that? Why can't we do both? And I heard the Lord say so strong in my soul, what makes you think I don't have things prepared for you in Colorado?
Yeah, so good.
I, oh my gosh, I started weeping. I was crying. I was, saying, Lord, I've made you so small. I've put you in this box of my expectations,
Sure.
and you have different expectations for me. And I came home from that walk, and my husband saw this tear-streaked face, and he said, something happened on that walk. And I said, we're moving to Colorado.
Oh my
And I
goodness.
was able to step forth. But I mean, then that opens the door. Now I'm working full time with the school system. They have no idea that I will leave this job that I've been in for 13 years at the same school. They have no idea that I'm thinking of leaving, And yes, it was retirement, but I call it repurposing.
That's good.
Retirement is just something I can't grasp. So I repurposed myself.
I love that.
So I left that job and we started packing up the house for Colorado. And I mean, the way God went before us, he gave me Joshua 1:9, where it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed and do not be fearful, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yes.
And even though I still felt like I was jumping off this cliff and like I was sailing and I didn't know how he was going to catch me or when I was going to hit bottom or how it was going to happen, I had to put my trust in him. And I found that it infiltrated every part of my life. It infiltrated my thoughts, my mental. It infiltrated how I was treating myself physically. It infiltrated my spiritual walk. It infiltrated all my relationships because I was leaving deep-rooted relationships in Maryland. I was cleaning out a house of 32 years.
Yeah.
That alone.
That's traumatic in and of itself.
It is. There are a lot of grief, a lot of decisions to be made. And so it felt like an overwhelming hailstorm at times.
Sure.
And we say, well, God spoke to you. Didn't you have immediate trust in your soul? Well, yeah, I went through times that I knew that God was leading me. But like the Israelites,
Yeah.
it was like, I'm sick of this manna, Lord. Can't you give us some meat? Or I forget that you split the Red Sea and now I'm doubting. I went through those doubts. I went through, yes, he spoke to me and he gave me that clear path. But then I would get these moments of panic and fear, like, I don't know if I can do this. And there was a time that I said to my husband, I mean, the for sale sign, we had the realtor, the for sale sign was in the yard. We were moving forward. And it was like I had a panic attack. And I
Sure.
said to him, I got to just get out of this house because the house was looking very, very clean and not like my house because I'm kind of a homey person. And so we went out for a walk and I saw soaring overhead an eagle. And Isaiah came, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. And it was like, Lord, I know that you're in charge. Help me trust you. Help me to know that you are going to give me the energy.
Yes.
And it's being able to reframe and refocus when we are in those seasons where it just feels like a swirling storm around us, or when we feel like we're falling.
Yes. Today you're going to give us four ways that you found things that helped you get through and navigate something that wasn't familiar anymore, but you had to create a new routine. I want to hear about those, but I just want to comment also on what you're saying because, neuroscience now shows us and proves to us,
Yes.
the primary job of our brain is to keep us safe and it wants to detect threat. And Anything that's not familiar to us, the brain deems as a threat. So it says, no, you can't do this. This is not routine. And you're so right when you say you have to reframe, like you have to teach your brain how to accept this new information. So to say, if we don't reframe, we'll get swept away in the fear and the negativity. And then, of
Absolutely.
course, the enemy wants to get
Yes.
right in there too with panic and anxiety.
Yes.
So give us the four
Yes.
things that you found to be helpful for you as you began to reframe and navigate this big transition in your life. Transition,
Thank you.
whew, it's important, but it's not usually that fun.
No, it's a learning process and you grow. But I kind of mentioned there were four areas of my life really impacted through this. So first off would be the obvious, the social, in leaving these oak tree friends. And what God kind of revealed to me is that, okay, when you move, we moved and I didn't know anybody but my kids. So for the first time in my life, I was meeting people as so-and-so's mom.
Right.
Because I had always been the teacher in the community, my kids were always my
Right.
identified by who I was.
Yes.
So this was a new identity. However, you have the choice. You can embrace it. Like you said, you can embrace it or you can fight it. And it's Lord, let me embrace this because now I'm seeing the strength of my kids as adults. And yes, I'm their mom. So that was something I was able to grasp. But in social, we need our close friends, and my kids couldn't be my friends that they helped me with the transition. But sooner or later, they had to let me fly. It's like, when you take your child to kindergarten, my kids were kind of protective, but then it's like, okay, mom, you got to find your own friends now.
Would you
And
say church community was part of that social?
church community was a huge part of that social. But when you move, you cannot expect to have that immediate connection of those oak tree friends. And so the Lord kind of gave me this vision of a garden and said, your beginning friends are going to be like seasonal bulbs, maybe tulips that grow. Maybe they're just going to be an annual impatience that's going to bloom for that season. But each of these friends are going to have an impact, and that we are made for community. I mean, that's what God makes us for. And so that whole thing in Ecclesiastes, where two are better than one, it's seeking out and finding those sisters and brothers in Christ that can walk along with me. And it was amazing how many people I met that were in a similar situation. They had moved to Colorado for their grandchildren, for their children. And so immediately God started making connections. So it's grieving and being able to say goodbye to those friends. But in today's world, we've got all kinds of ways to stay connected with those good friends. And those friendships are stable and foundational. They won't change. So what God did was he built upon those relationship with new relationships. So that was one thing, finding not only my friends for me, but also couple friends for ourselves. And you're right, our church was the resource for that. And so finding a body of Christ that you connect with, because God is going ahead, and that was one of my prayers for my kids, became a prayer for me to prepare relationships for me and to recognize
Yeah,
those
that's good.
relationships to step into. It's a great prayer. And then your thoughts, those, as we talk about reframing and fighting those negative thoughts, like I can't do this, and being lost in the storm of grief. It's saying goodbye, it's being able to grieve. But it's then looking at, and Philippians was a huge part of my adjustments. And the one verse in Philippians that helped me with my thoughts and my mental, rather than giving in to the negative, I can't do this or I'm exhausted, he had Philippians 8, fix your mind on what is pure and praiseworthy, lovely, admirable, noble, true, trustworthy, excellent, and right. God knew about neuroscience.
He
He
did.
knew that we had to focus on those positives And the overall gift he gives us when we focus on that is a peace amidst the storm. And so you can be challenged in a storm, but there can be a deep sense to know that the faithfulness of God does not change and he is with you, even though around you things feel chaotic. And when you move, they don't feel normal. Everything feels strange. You feel like a stranger in a strange land. But God is giving you a sense of peace that one step at a time. So it was fighting and reframing those mental thoughts and really resisting, not giving in to, you know, the fear, flight, and freeze when you get
Yes.
into those challenges, like this is panicking, this doesn't feel good. And just looking to God and saying, I know you've got it, God. Help me fix my mind. You help me be thankful. You are pure. You're praiseworthy. You're lovely. You're admirable. You're noble. You're true. You're trustworthy. Everything you do is excellent and right,
Yes.
and trusting in that.
Yes, and I'm not alone here. You're
No.
with me, God. You're going to be my ever companion. So, okay, so I heard you say, and let me see if I'm getting this right. Number one, and
Yeah.
I think you said you use 4 R's to help us with this. So redesign the social, and then
Yep.
reframe the thought,
Yep.
and then three.
Re okay, three would be refresh physical. Because now, you know, what you're doing, I'm in Colorado, I'm not in Maryland. It's like two completely different climates. I'm a person that likes to walk and you know, do all kinds of things. I don't have the same gym available to me or things like that. I had to refresh the physical, and but I also had to rest in the physical. Because when you're moving, you are doing. Every minute you can be busy. And so it's come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I love how the message talks about learn the unforced rhythms of life. I was learning a completely, I had been in this full-time educational job, been teaching at night. I had a full schedule, been doing ministry on the weekends. And now I'm learning true unforced rhythms of life, but finding purpose in that and being able to refresh and rest in the Lord and renew myself physically. Another story that goes with this is less than a year after I got to Colorado, I had a major injury where this refreshing and resting the physical became really primary because I had surgery. It put me in a
Oh,
wheelchair. I mean,
man.
it was huge. So that's another story for another time. But being able to be aware of how that rest and the refresh is so important to our physical, because God created us physical, spiritual, mental, and social beings. And the fourth one is recharge and rejoice in your spiritual. Find things to rejoice in. And that's where I went to Philippians 4-6, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it goes into do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, make your requests known to God. And so being able to rest, find those times to connect to the Lord, find those times when you don't feel grateful. What can you be grateful for? What can you give him praise for? So it's redesign your social. It's reframing your thoughts or your mental. It's refreshing and rest in your physical. And it's recharging and rejoicing in the spiritual.
There's the 4 R's spoken
Yeah.
like a teacher. And you know what's important, and I'm hearing this in what you're saying, is all of that takes intentionality, doesn't it?
It does. It
It
does.
it's not going to just happen automatically. It's going to be that we partner with the Spirit of God and say, all right, you know, I'm body, soul, and spirit, and I must steward all domains of my being, resting in the physical, recharging my spirit and my spiritual, keeping my body moving, all of those things.
Right.
You have anything, I know our time is almost gone, but to say to the woman who's listening, who maybe is frozen, she is stuck, she does feel paralyzed, she's not intentionally engaging those 4 R's, what would be a good place to start?
Oh, first of all, I want to tell you that God sees you and God loves you and he knows exactly where you're at. And the first thing I would recommend is Is there a body of Christ that you can reach out? I had friends praying for me. I shared these fears with my Oak Tree friends. I had them praying for me. And that body of Christ praying for us is important. If it can be one person in your life that you can reach out and be honest, because the one thing that we know can keep us stuck is not sharing our struggle with anyone. When we keep it to ourselves, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger because we're not sharing it. And when we share it, it puts light on that darkness, that huge darkness. And when we share it with somebody, it lets that light of God come in and start to dispel frustration, the fog, and He can make a difference. But who could you share it with? And is there a scripture that you could say over and over that would help your mind focus on the promises of God? Even if it's Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. Or if you can't say that, say Philippians 6, Lord, help me not be anxious about this. Help me know that you are there. Thank you for, and whatever you can see that you can thank. If you got out of bed, thank the Lord that you were able to get out of bed. If you got to change your clothes, thank the Lord you were able to change it. There are things that keep us stuck. And one step forward, being able to thank the Lord, because His gift, when we can offer up those worries, those anxieties, that stuckness, that frustration, that fear to Him, He gives a sense of peace over us. And that is what connects us to Him and allows us to begin to walk into the light.
Amen. Beautiful words spoken by my guest today, Peg Arnold. Peg, you're also an author. Is there a book that you've shared around this concept? If so, tell us the title.
So I don't have a book around this concept. I do have a devotional called Devotions for the Distracted Heart, and it does talk about all these distractions that can derail, detour, and it's a 40-day devotion. It's available on Amazon. I have a brand new book that doesn't have to do with this, but it's for equipping speakers and authors with the use of visual aids. That's making your message memorable. So if you're a speaker or an author, it's a great resource book. But if you are looking for a new devotional, that Devotions for the Distracted Heart, available on Amazon, is a great place to start because I do talk about some of these transitions that I've actually mentioned today.
Beautiful. We'll put that in the link for our listeners and also your email or website or whatever you'd like so that people can get a hold of you or touch base with you. Thank you so much for being on the program today. You're a delight. You are an inspiration. And I have seen you at work and you are memorable. So good job.
Thank you.
Well done,
Thank you,
Bravehearted
Don.
sister. And for all of you listening, this is Dawn Damon, your Braveheart mentor. I'll leave you like I always do. Is this your moment to find your brave and live your dreams?
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now, for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Bravehearted Woman: Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.